Eric Metaxas here. Please join me in a life-saving mission to set Sudanese slaves free through Christian Solidarity International. Since 1995, CSI has freed more than 100,000 women and children from years of bondage and abuse. Your $250 gift frees, feeds, and heals these captives and sets them on a path to a new life in freedom. Please help us free another slave now. Call 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522, or click the CSI banner at MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Oh, happy day, Albin. We've got some. First of all, we've already had an amazing hour one.
Oh, yeah.
With Dr. Ben Carson.
The guy's great.
He's a real medical doctor.
My goodness.
He has separated conjoined twins. Have you ever done that? Hey, Big Shot, there are people listening to this program. You think you're pretty cool. Have you ever separated conjoined twins attached by their brains?
Yeah.
Well, Ben Carson has done that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm an identical twin, but my brother and I, we weren't attached by our brains.
You were attached. A lot of people don't know this, Albin. This is in my book. It's a real book. You can get it on the internet. I'm not kidding. I wrote a book called Don't You Believe It.
Yeah.
In that book, I have fun facts. And you and your brother were conjoined by a common beard. The two of you shared a beard. And a doctor went in with pinking shears.
Yeah.
He snipped the beard and you guys were separated. And you've been a normal person ever since.
Yeah, yeah. Well, somewhat normal. But I don't remember it. We were both, knocked out. We had the knockout drug. So when we woke up, okay.
There's a lot of nerves in the beards of conjoined twins that are. So anyway, Dr. Ben Carson was our guest in hour one. And he really was one of the greatest brain surgeons in the world, mm-hmm. but now he's slipped down to number three.
Aww.
Yeah, it's incredible. He lost a couple of matches. Mm. Well, so he was also a cabinet member in the Trump administration. But coming up now, mm-hmm. another doctor, Dr. Simone Gold. Mm-hmm. We're catching her. She's on a tour. So we're catching her like in a van or something. So if you're watching this, you're going to notice it's a little weird because she's doing the interview from a van traveling at 70 miles an hour. And let me say this. She may not have ever separated conjoined twins, but she is a medical doctor.
She is.
And she's also a lawyer,
mm-hmm.
and she's amazing. So
yeah,
she's coming up in a couple of seconds.
The Unvarnished Truth Tour or something.
Oh, no,
like
she's
that.
Yeah,
Uncensored
she's a,
Truth.
She's
yeah.
a big she's a big deal,
she's
but
a big
she's
deal.
A hero. Speaking of heroes, yes. We're heroes. Why? Because we got kicked off of YouTube. All the Eric Metaxas Show videos of this program were kicked off of YouTube. When I say kicked off YouTube, I don't mean we're suspended. I was last night on the Jenna Ellis Show, and she said you were suspended from YouTube. I said, no, Jenna, we were totally kicked off, banned. The whole channel has been wiped mm-hmm. out. Now, we're appealing this because we're also considering, and I'm not kidding, suing them because everybody knows this is unacceptable. I mean, YouTube is filled with garbage. In fact, I did some research, and YouTube doesn't, I guess they don't want people to know this. I did some research. The original name, YouTube, like where did they come up with that?
Yeah.
And the etymology, this is kind of creepy. It refers to your tube. It was originally going to be called Heine TV. And that's how childish they are. So they changed it to YouTube. And it's a Marxist goal to, spread like icky stuff around. And when I discovered that, I thought, YouTube, it makes sense. That's what YouTube is. So, but our goal, we have a new goal, Albin, because when you start checking off these life goals, like I want to get kicked off YouTube for speaking too much truth, our next goal is we want to get kicked off the internet altogether.
Well, I understand that Mike Lindell does not want to associate with you anymore because your conspiracy theories
Mike Lindell said... Even we are too crazy for him. Frank's speech is supposed to be where anybody can go.
But not
you can get kicked off YouTube, but Frank's speech will have you. Mike Lindell has said, Eric, this time you've gone too far.
Sorry.
You've gone too far. And but anyway, I just want to say, folks, we might be kidding and we might not be kidding. And that's the beauty of this program.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. Hey,
no,
Albin.
Not even
can
us.
We talk about something positive?
Please.
And forgive me for the potty mouth, but I did my research and I just want to say it freaked me out.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know what we should talk about? No kidding.
Yeah.
But what do we watch? Like when you go home.
Yeah.
When I go home.
Yeah.
What do we watch? Before I say that, a listener writes.
Oh, yeah, a listener writes.
Somebody wrote to us.
Now, this is a great
And I want to say this. So we're going to read this letter in a minute. But before we read the letter, I want to say, you know, Suzanne and I, when COVID hit, we went full on, like we're watching all this cool streaming stuff, right? Yeah. And if you really have to look hard to find good stuff. And so we like to watch, you know, Dickens adaptations, Jane Austen, Anthony Trollope, The Way We Live Now. What, you know, we just love watching a lot of stuff that is period literature turned into cheesy soap operas for the boob tube. And so basically finally broke down and got a subscription to BritBox.
Oh, yeah. Ann and I have that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so there is tons of good stuff. So people are thinking, what can I watch on TV? Now, I always say go to Turner Classic Movies because Turner Classic Movies is amazing. But BritBox and a lot of the stuff, I mean, look, whether it's Netflix or Hulu or what, you can find some of this stuff. But BritBox is like the mother load.
Yeah.
And so last night we watched The Tenant of Wildfell Hall.
Wow.
Three parts.
Okay.
And it's you know the Bronte sisters?
Oh, of course the Bronte. They live right next door to
us. Yeah. Well, the Bronte sisters, there's three of them now.
Oh, and like the Stooges.
And Anne Bronte, no one has ever compared the Bronte sisters to the Three Stooges.
Until now.
But the curly of the Bronte sisters is definitely Anne Bronte.
Oh, of course.
And she's the one that wrote The Tenant of Wildfell Hall.
Okay.
So we watched it last night. It was a little depressing. It wasn't as good as some of the other stuff that we've seen. But BritBox, I think people are just looking for. It's why we always talk about SalemNow.com. You've got to find stuff. You know, you don't want to end up on YouTube because we now that we know what they're all about, canceling people. Unless they reverse their decision, but whatever. Okay, so Albin, we get letters, and we don't get to read all the letters on the air. I read all the letters personally,
but some of them,
and we can't respond to most of them. But every now and again, I said we need to read some of these on the air. So we got one yesterday, and we're going to name names.
Yeah,
we're calling you out, Blake Newman. Oh, yeah, Blake Newman wrote us a letter.
Blake,
he writes, "Dear Eric." I get tears when I read this because it's so beautiful. Blake Newman wrote to us. We're not going to say where he lives if he pays us a certain amount or if he gives to CSI $250. Mm-hmm. We're not going to dox you, Blake. Okay, here we go. It says, "Dear Eric, I hear that you are an amazing genius and that you watch movies in fast forward and that when you read, you simply wave a book in front of your head." By the way, that's all true. Been documented on the internet. But then he writes, "Furthermore, I've been told that you are a world-renowned expert on convenience stores and that your next book is going to be titled 7-Eleven. Is that really true?" Well, you know, Blake knows I've written a book called 7 Men. It's available at mystore.com. Use the code Eric. I've written a book called 7 Women. It's available at mystore.com. Use the code Eric. I've written a book called 7 More Men.
Right.
That's available. And I've written a book called 7 More. Actually, we're working on 7 More Women.
Right.
But I thought, how do I extend the series? And I thought probably the next logical step would be to do 7 drag icons like Cher, Joan Collins, probably Joan Crawford, Betty Davis. So 7 drag icons. But then I thought, you know what? That might have limited appeal. So I should do something that most Americans could get into. So 7-Eleven really is.
Yeah.
It's going to be all about fun, faith-inspiring convenience store stories.
There are a lot of those.
7-Eleven.
Yeah. You're going to have to pare them down.
And you can find it at mystore.com, 7-Eleven.
But you got to use the code, Eric.
But you got to use the code.
Wherever you go.
But you got to use code. But I just want to say to Blake Newman, Blake, you've outed me. I didn't want people to know about my book. And 7 drag icons, now that goes to the back of the list because 7-Eleven is more important. Mm. And I wanted to end on a sour cultural warrior note. Albin, what's with all of, like, the pride stuff? Like this, every website I go to, it's rainbow colors.
What?
And I find it very fatiguing. And we're going to have to address this in the future because, like, do we need an entire month to celebrate being gay in America? Most devout Muslims, devout Christians, devout Jews don't think that it's something to celebrate. And so if people want to live their lives, hey, praise God, it's America. You can make your own choices, but you can't expect people who take the Bible seriously to celebrate that. And I feel like it's being forced on us. That is uncool, man. It is uncool, and we'll talk about that in future shows. Have we said enough upsetting things?
I think so. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Thanks for listening.
I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. Like you, I am sick of hearing about big tech companies spying on their customers, selling their data, and not being able to keep their platforms safe and secure. Luckily, I've found SquadPod, a private platform that helps businesses, organizations, churches, and nonprofits take back control of their communication. SquadPod has three things going for it that other companies do not. First, SquadPod puts you in control of who is a part of your team, what they see, and how they interact with the group. Second, SquadPod is 100% owned and operated in the United States. Third, SquadPod is simple to use. Just create an account, invite your team, and start communicating via their secure video and messaging features. Learn more at squadpod.com/Eric. That's squadpod.com/Eric. Let me say it again, squadpod.com/Eric. Check it out.
Hey there, Georgie girl, swinging down the street so fancy free. Nobody you meet could ever see the loneliness there
inside you.
Hey there, Georgie girl, why do all the boys just pass you by?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm coming to you from just a studio, but my guest is coming to you from a moving vehicle, Dr. Simone Gold. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Eric. We are indeed moving. We're on the America's Frontline Doctors Uncensored Truth Tour.
You are on a tour. Obviously, you're on a tour. This is amazing. What is the name of the tour again?
Uncensored Truth.
Uncensored Truth. And we're living in strange times that's not redundant. We actually have to go out of our way to say uncensored truth. You and I met, strangely, a few weeks ago in California. You happened to be driving by my hotel. It was kind of an amazing serendipitous, would be the secular way of perceiving what happened. You are Jewish. You're not a Christian, as far as I know. But we agree pretty dramatically on what I want to talk to you about today. So let's talk about that. You're a lawyer and you're a doctor, a medical doctor. So What is your life about for the last year, the last 6 months? What are you talking about on this tour?
Right. I started seeing that there's so much disinformation, censorship, and lies that were being told to the American people that it was really threatening people's health and it was threatening the liberty of our nation. And I think where you and I agree, and a lot of us agree, is for me, this is a God versus no God kind of battle that we're in. And it's difficult for human beings to fight successfully if they're consumed 24/7 with lies and disinformation. So I see my role in this fight as bringing the truth, the scientific truth and the legal truth to light.
I just find it funny, Simone, that, you know, the other day I've had Naomi Wolf on the program a couple of times. She's Jewish, liberal, feminist, but she's exactly where we are on these things. You're Jewish. I just find it amazing that the culture at large tries to say that it's white evangelicals that have problems with the vaccine. And I would even say, I don't really have a problem with the vaccine. I have a problem with the idea that people are telling me I can't talk about it. I can't refuse to get it. I shouldn't refuse to get it. It's weird in America, and this is why I love you so much. Your voice is so powerful and important. People in America need to understand this is not okay. People cannot tell you things, and they certainly can't tell you not to question things, especially when it concerns your own body. So when did you wake up to this?
The problem with the experimental COVID shots is not a vaccine or non-vaccine issue. All of my career, I've been vaccinated. My children have been vaccinated. This is not a vaccine issue. This is an issue of medical tyranny being imposed in such a way that it's harming individuals. It's also harming the nation because it's done away with, like, the right of Fourth Amendment, which is bodily integrity. People giving away that right because there have been such disinformation. There's essentially no free speech around the issue. That's the fight that we're in. It's not a vaccine fight. From a medical perspective, of course you cannot rush out experimental shots to hundreds of millions of people and expect everything to go well. They're trying to rush these shots out to children. We've never rushed out experimental shots to children. It's ludicrous.
I mean, it seems ludicrous when you hear the facts, but the problem and the reason you're having to go on an uncensored truth tour is that suddenly we're being told, no, 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 things are different now. You can't talk about that. There's something, I mean, it's like the Nazis are trying to bomb us and we're saying we don't want to put blackout curtains on our windows. We want our light to shine. That would be an appropriate time for the government to say, sorry, but we don't want the Nazis to bomb our cities. You're going to have to comply. And in that case, most Americans would say, you know what? Yes, you have to comply with what the government's telling you. This is not that kind of a case, but they've tried to inflate it into that kind of a life or death issue. So how do you, from a doctor's perspective, see it?
Actually, that's an excellent analogy. And the medical answer to your analogy is that the CDC has already sent data that this is a non-lethal trivial virus. Specifically, unless you're at or near or exceeded your life expectancy, this is non-lethal. Per the CDC, if you're young, healthy, or middle-aged, reasonably healthy, and even older and healthy, your chance of surviving SARS-CoV-2 is almost 100%. Literally, per the CDC, they released numbers May 5th. Again, it shows 99.5% survivability between age 50 and 70, and over age 70, it's almost 95%, and with early treatment, it's almost 100%. All the people that have died from COVID-19 are at or exceeded life expectancy with rare exception. That's why your analogy is so apropos. There is no public health emergency that would require human beings to submit to experimental medications.
And also the politicization of this issue. I mean, the idea that President Trump mentions hydroxychloroquine and suddenly the cognoscenti lose their minds and decide they must be against it. It's almost like he said, I take aspirin, and they just said aspirin is evil. No one can take aspirin. I mean, explain what happened with hydroxychloroquine.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, the moment he mentioned it, then the media came out against it. And that's, by the way, how I knew that the media and doctors and often pharmacists had already drunk the Kool-Aid, because there was no argument to be made. It's been FDA approved for 65 years. We give it to babies, infants, pregnant women, nursing mothers, the elderly, and the immune compromised. Those two groups take it for decades and decades without incident. It's one of the safest drugs on the planet. It's safer than Tylenol. Tylenol is actually the number one reason we have liver transplants in this nation. So there's no comparison. Hydroxychloroquine is very, very safe. So never, never believe that. The reason the hatred towards hydroxychloroquine exists is because the only way to roll out an experimental vaccine so rapidly is if there was no other approved treatment. So unless they put the kibosh on hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, budesonide, they couldn't roll out experimental shots to all of humanity.
So
this
that's
is a crime,
okay.
Crime against humanity.
So people need to understand that there's an arbitrary medical rule that says you want to rush out an experimental vaccine. Okay, if you do that, the only way we will give you permission to do that is if there is no treatment. And they said, okay, we'll go along with that. So even the things that are treatments, we'll say that they're not treatments. And if we say that hydroxychloroquine and whatever it is, ivermectin or whatever these other things, if we say that those things can't be used and they are not treatments, you'll let us rush out this vaccine. So that's literally what happened.
Yes, that's exactly what happened. I want to emphasize that this is not a political situation. This was the only political aspect to it was, I believe, that Trump got in the way of this plan. The way you know this isn't actually political is Trump keeps saying things like, you know, to get the vaccine. He's very proud of the Operation Warp Speed effect. But most of the people that formally voted for Trump, right? They're not behind that bandwagon because they do think of themselves, and they're saying you are really an experimental shot for which there's a virus.
You were breaking up there. I just want to say that I think, you know, if anybody can speak ill of Trump, I would say that he was so excited about his ability to get this done when nobody said it could get done, that he just, you know, went crazy in a good way, as he does, to solve a problem. But then what he lost sight of, and he allowed the media to get this narrative out there, is the idea that the reason we're going crazy to get this experimental thing out there is in case people are dying and there's no help, we can give them this experimental thing to save their lives. That was the idea. It wasn't to give it to everybody. You don't give experimental cancer treatments, you know, to people who aren't dying of cancer.
Right. So from a political perspective, his business and scientific accomplishment with Operation Warp Speed was certainly an accomplishment. However, I believe it's been hijacked in service of tyrannical rule to take down our nation, quite frankly. We got rid of the First Amendment, you can't talk about it, and the Fourth Amendment, bodily integrity. I believe Operation Warp Speed was hijacked.
You believe Operation Warp Speed was hijacked by whom?
Was hijacked by people with an intention to take down the Constitution. Operation Warp Speed was a scientific and political accomplishment. It was really quite amazing that he could put all this together, right, and get all these pieces in place to roll out anything, really, in a few months. I mean, that's really amazing. On the other hand, I don't believe the president ever intended that Americans should be forced to take an experimental vaccine. Every day we're reading articles about governors offering free college, free money, lottery, ice cream. New York City, they're going to vaccinate in public schools. They've even passed laws in local municipalities saying that children 12 and over can consent without their parents' knowledge.
Okay, that is flat out unconstitutional. That makes me want to get my gun, and I don't even own a gun. But let me tell you, the idea that they would say that, that 12-year-olds can do that, that violates everything, every law. I don't understand. How can they possibly say that?
If you're growing up in the USSR or you're growing up in China, you understand that the children belong to the government. That's the movement that's going on right now. Wake up, America. They're trying to take over, and you can see it clear as day. San Francisco passed a rule within 1 week of it being rolled out to children that you could give these shots to children without their parents' knowledge. It's unbelievable. This is happening in multiple municipalities, not just San Francisco. Boston is another one.
Can I grab children off the street and have them baptized at my church without their parents' knowledge? Could I do that?
Right. Exactly.
Why
not?
Put water, it's a free country. I can do whatever I want. Right. This is so crazy. The sound quality is not great, Dr. Simone Gold, so we're going to let it go with that. We want to get you back because it is wonderful to talk to you. We love you and what you're doing. God bless you. To be continued. Prescription Dispensing Labs is a national licensed pharmacy specializing in personalized prescription and natural medicine. The pharmacists at PD Labs are credited with formulating unique nasal sprays for the dreaded brain fog and a leader in uncovering new compounds to improve your health. PD Labs is one of the first pharmacies to now offer a telemedicine group trained in prevention medicine and how to restore your health. They have developed signature professional supplements that really work rather than just promotional advertising. PD Labs Pharmacy prides itself on innovation and amazing customer service that show dedication to your health. Today, everyone needs a choice in their health care, and they bring many refreshing options on how to maximize your body's amazing capabilities to bounce back. PD Labs has an extensive network of practitioners nationwide dedicated to true health care, not sick care. Visit their website, pdlabsrx.com, for free health tips, podcasts, and their popular online store. Call 888-909-0110. Ask for Ray and tell them Eric sent you. That's 888-909-0110. Hey there, friends. Eric Metaxas here. Joe Biden and the Democrats have laid out the most socialist agenda our country has ever seen.
Instead of following President Trump's blueprint that had the economy booming, the Dems are going to raise taxes, increase regulations, and skyrocket an already outrageous national debt. If your retirement is in traditional investments, it is in jeopardy. Americans should be diversifying their investments with gold and precious metals. Gold gives you control over your wealth and protects you from market volatility, inflation, and a weakening dollar. When investing in gold, I turn to Legacy Precious Metals. Legacy Precious Metals has over 40 years of experience in helping Americans protect their finances, and this team is prepared to patiently consider your own personal financial needs. If you're looking to invest in gold, call the good folks at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-473-6204 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. Don't leave your retirement to chance, friends. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today. That's 866-473-6204. Folks, welcome back. Every now and again on this program, we love to talk to the Alliance Defending Freedom. I have Tyson Langhofer on. Welcome back, Tyson.
Thanks, Eric.
I believe in what the Alliance Defending Freedom is doing, and I'd love to talk to you or anyone at ADF about kind of what's going on right now. And it came to my attention that you're representing Peter Vlaming on this pronoun case.
We are, yeah. And we've got Peter here, and it's a concerning thing, you know, because Peter went out of his way to accommodate all of his students, but his school fired him because he wouldn't contradict his core beliefs. I mean, so this isn't just about a pronoun. It's really about what that pronoun means.
It's about madness, the madness into which we are descending, except for the grace of God and ADF. I'm so happy to have Peter Vlaming himself. Peter, welcome.
Thank you, Eric. Happy to be here.
Let's break it down. You were a French teacher in high school.
Yes.
Okay, and a 14-year-old student decided what?
So, yes, 14-year-old girl. I'd had her in class for, this is her third year in my class. She was moving up the ranks in French. Great student. Really appreciated having her in my class. She decided that she was no longer a girl and that she was adopting a male identity. She came to me and asked that she be referred to as with a new name, a masculine name, which in good conscience I adopted. Okay, your new name, we'll call her Joe. Okay, that's not her name, but so you want to be called Joe? Okay, I'll call you Joe. And we had a great rapport. And then one day she asked to see me after class, and she came and said, Mr. Vlaming, I've heard that you've referred to me as a girl outside of class. And I said, okay, well, let's get some things straight. I like you. I like who you are. I'm glad you're in French class. You're a great student. I'm really happy to be your teacher and for you to be in my class. However, your adoption of this new identity isn't that easy to navigate. So you'll have to cut me some grace. That's the term I used. And she was satisfied. And I directly went to my administration to explain to them the conversation I had. Hey, I just had a conversation with this student, with Joe. And I explained to them that I'm using Joe's new name. I'm not using feminine pronouns in her presence to refer to her. But I'm not using masculine pronouns in her presence either. I can't do that. It does contradict my belief about who we are as integral beings. And the administration said, oh, no. You will proactively use male pronouns to refer to the student, whether she's present or whether she's not present. And I think something that needs some clarification here, we say, it's polite to use someone's pronouns. It has nothing to do with politeness because you never address someone with third person pronouns. I don't say, hi, Eric, how is he doing today? I say, hi, Eric, how are you doing today?
Let's be clear, because most people in the world think this is so absurd. You're talking about third person pronouns. Explain that, because most people have a hard time comprehending how a girl suddenly turns on a dime and says, okay, from now on, I'm a boy. That's hard enough. But when you say third person, what do you mean?
So this is what I do as a language teacher, explain these things, first, second, and third person. So second person is when I'm directly talking to you. Third person is when you're talking about someone. And third person personal pronouns are most often used when the person in question isn't even present. You know, oh, did you see the Eric Metaxas show yesterday? Yeah, his guest was great. He was great. Okay, it's you're talking about them when they're not present. Otherwise, when they're present, you use their name. It's more polite.
So were you were talking to a teacher or something, and you said her, referring to this young woman who wants to be called a he, and that was the issue.
I worked in a high school, right? So apparently someone overheard me mentioning that student in conversation, and I apparently referred to her as her. And it got back to her. And you have to understand that in a high school, you know, the kids, they're teenagers and sometimes pre-teenagers. They love drama. You know, the drama is easily fueled. And so with a question like this, it's really easy to say, oh, you know, who's on board, who's not on board. And the kids know as well that the power of livelihood is being put in their hands. You have those who are not totally on board, who don't adopt this new ideology, they're going to get it. And they know that. Not to say that they're in their heads, they're being mean, but they know the stakes.
But it's just so creepy. Anybody who's read The Crucible by Arthur Miller, these things have happened in the past. The fact that it's happening now in high schools to French teachers who are just trying to do their job to teach kids French is astonishing. I should say Tyson Langhofer is with ADF. Tyson, just in 30 seconds, when did you decide to take on this case at ADF?
Well, we heard about Peter's case after he had already taken it. He had appealed it through the school board, and the school board held a trial, and they found that he had violated the policy, and they terminated him. And we heard about that, and Peter reached out, and then we decided to represent him because this was clearly a violation of Peter's First Amendment and Virginia constitutional rights.
We'll come back to that. I should remind my audience, folks, go to adflegal.org. adflegal.org/Eric and help them out. This is we're living in crazy times. Folks, I'm talking to Tyson Langhofer of the Alliance Defending Freedom and his client, Peter Vlaming, a French teacher at a high school. I want to remind my audience that if you can help the Alliance Defending Freedom, I've got a phone number here and a link. You can go to ADF, that's ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom, adflegal.org/Eric, or you can call 855-547-5333. Tyson, you were just saying that what kind of a case this is, why ADF decided to take this on. Say a little bit more about that.
Sure. Well, you know, when the government forces people to speak messages they disagree with, and especially if those messages violate their core religious beliefs, that's a violation of not only the freedom of speech, but our free exercise of religion. And in this case, the West Point School District was forcing Peter to speak messages that he disagrees with. Even though he treated all students with respect and went out of his way to accommodate this student, they still forced him to speak messages he disagreed with. And that's a violation of our core free speech and free exercise protections. And that's why it should matter to everyone, not just people that agree with Peter, but for everyone, because tolerance is a two-way street.
Peter, what kind of school is this? Is this a public high school?
Yeah, it's a public high school. The middle school and high school are actually physically connected. And I taught actually 6th through 12th. So 6th grade through 12th grade, all levels of French.
Okay. And isn't it a little bit astonishing that the school board or the school authorities would would want to die on this kind of a hill. I mean, it's interesting that they would not back up their teacher, that they would rather get behind this woke ideology. What do you make of that? I mean, typically teachers, you know, historically are treated with some respect. And this seems to me like they're more afraid of something else than getting sideways of one of their teachers.
Well, what I think is really weird is that my point of view is on who we are as humans, integral beings, right? Our mind, our body, and our spirit. Yes, it's biblical, and it's because I'm a Christian that's rooted there. At the same time, it's the same point of view that the whole world has held for all of humanity, for all history of humanity until 5 minutes ago. So this is it's new. It's a new ideology. Well, you could say it's Gnostic. You know, has we've seen it before in history. But to your point, people are afraid. People are afraid. There's a huge intimidation factor that if you do not go along with whatever, I guess I would say, a progressive culture puts forth, then you're in trouble. And one of the things that I noticed that I wish I hadn't seen it, but there is a lot of cowardice. There's where the rubber meets the road. People are like, well, we know this isn't true. And we know this is wrong, but I don't want to lose my job, so I'm not going to say anything. And that's it's disappointing.
Well, I mean, I think definitely if you really understand that, you know, God is in charge of your career, then you're less inclined to be fearful. But I think there are a lot of people that their faith is probably shallow or maybe non-existent, and they really do think that, I've just got to do whatever I've got to do. It doesn't matter whether it's right or wrong. I've just got to keep my job. You seem to me to be somebody that, you know, you're not looking for trouble, but you're not going to knuckle under just because somebody tells you, hey, if you want to keep your job, you need to play ball, do it this way, that you really do have core convictions.
I'm convinced that if two teachers, any two teachers would have gone to the administration and said, hey, we know Mr. Vlaming. We know he's good to his students. We know he's a great teacher. Don't do this. I'm convinced they would have backed down. But there weren't any voices from the staff, and they're afraid.
And they're afraid. It's just amazing to me. I've spoken about this subject a lot when I talk about Germany and Bonhoeffer. The idea that if only a few people would speak up, it has tremendous power. But everybody seems to go along. Everybody seems to be just afraid enough so that they don't say anything. And they make it much more difficult for anyone to say anything. So I want to, at the very least, congratulate you and salute you for being willing to say what is right and true and be willing to take the consequences. Where do things stand now with your case and your job?
I'll let Tyson go to that one.
Yeah, so Peter's been out of job for almost 3 years now, and the lawsuit is still pending in state court. We've got a hearing on June 7th. The defendants have filed a motion to dismiss. And so if your listeners could pray for that outcome, we would be appreciative of that. Because again, this doesn't just affect Peter. As you've talked about, Eric, this affects anyone who has the desire to speak messages that they agree with and don't want to be punished for not speaking messages they disagree with.
I want to say again to people who are listening that you've got to be courageous, folks, because everybody's depending on you. And if you do what Peter has done, you make life easier for everybody. And if you don't do what he's done and you look the other way, you make life more difficult for everyone. So it's not just about you. I want to say to my listeners again, adflegal.org, adflegal.org/Eric, adflegal.org/Eric. Or if you prefer to call 855-547-5333. Peter, so it's been 3 years. I'm astounded, really, that they would be willing to do this to a teacher, and that it's 3 years ago. Things are getting bad really quickly, and here we are. This was already 3 years ago. It was this crazy. Are there other cases like this around the country? Are you familiar with anybody else going through this?
I am actually aware of, actually some other teachers have reached out to me nationwide to say, I'm going through the same thing. How did you handle it? Here's what's going on. And just using me as a sounding board. With regards to the details of such cases, Tyson would have more of the information on that.
Well, I mean, I'm just wondering if you've had anybody reach out to you, because there's so many teachers across the country who are living this absurdity. And it's interesting to me that you're one of the very, very few willing to take the consequences and willing to fight for what is right and true. Folks, once again, adflegal.org/Eric Tyson Langhofer, Peter Vlaming, thank you so much.
Just to see the clothes she wears.
Alvin, guess what? It's time for the homework assignment. Every day on this program, we're going to be giving out a homework assignment. I've been doing it casually, but folks, it's going to be part of your grade. Mm. And I think it is incumbent on me to say clearly what the assignment is, since this goes into your final grade in the class. Okay, so today's homework assignment.
Yes.
First thing... This, by the way, this is for the month, SalemNow.com. Mm-hmm. If you go to SalemNow.com, there's a lot of stuff you can watch with your whole family. So visit SalemNow.com. But specifically, there's a film out. It's called The Streets Were My Father. It's the journey of three inner-city Chicago men, a story of fatherlessness, gang life, prison life, and then the power of God to change lives, transform lives dramatically. It is hugely inspiring, but it also underscores the practically the most important issue there is. It's called fatherlessness. If you don't want crime in America, deal with fatherlessness, because it's huge. So go to salemnow.com. It's called The Streets Were My Father. Okay, that's assignment number one. Assignment number two. Tell your friends, please, about mypillow.com and mystore.com. And using the code Eric. A lot of people, maybe they're watching Fox News or something else, and it gives you a code. And I'm thinking, do you really want to give that portion of the profit to Fox or to whomever?
Right.
Or do you want it to give it to this show, which has been banished from YouTube and is being sued by, I can't even go into that publicly. So we do need your help.
Yeah.
Every time you use the code Eric at mypillow.com or mystore.com. Most of my books are at mystore.com, and we'll have way more coming up soon. You're helping us defray those costs on this program, and we do need your help. So if you tell your friends to use the code Eric, we're grateful. And as part of that, Nutramedics is a new big sponsor on the program.
Right.
We've had Tim Eaton on now twice. Watch those videos. We posted them on Rumble, and if you get our email newsletters, you've seen them. They are heroes, honestly, because they're producing a spectacular product, and I'm learning a lot about different herbs and spices, or whatever they call them.
Supplements.
Oh, yeah, supplements. Yeah. But not only that, they give 50% of their royalties to missions.
Right.
And you can listen to the thing.
That's amazing, yeah.
But if you use the code Eric there, you get 20% off. And most of us use all these things, whether it's, you know, magnesium or zinc or vitamin C or vitamin D, whatever, all the basics, stevia, melatonin, and on and on and on and on. They have more exotic stuff. But I just want to say that every time you use the code Eric, you save 20%, and it helps defray costs on this program. And we need your help. So that's a homework assignment. And then finally. Okay. CSI.
Yes.
We are freeing slaves in the Sudan. Folks, am I making this up? No. People, and this is like the wake-up call. For us in the West, we complain about, you know, getting banned from YouTube. There are people enslaved for their faith in Sudan. And I just want to say that we can do something about it. We did something about it. It was a year ago or 8 months ago. We did a huge number of, was it Chris? That's right.
Yeah.
And we freed like thousands of slaves. And this is an amazing thing. I can't even believe I'm saying this.
Yeah.
But that's what CSI does. You can participate. Whatever you give goes to this. But anybody who gives $250, that frees a slave. And they don't buy them out of slavery. It's more complicated. I won't go into it now. But it frees a slave and then sets them up in a new life. Now, again, it's incomprehensible to us. We're talking about people enslaved. Yeah. So CSI, they're boots on the ground. They're helping.
Yes.
It's kind of astonishing to me that they do this. So
The banner is right at the top of the
Metaxastalk.com. 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 Have I mentioned our radio website is Metaxastalk.com?
There you go.
Have
I
mentioned that?
And you can call 888-253-3522.
Say it again.
888-253-3522. Please give generously. This is an incredible. People talk about slavery 150 years ago. This is happening today.
I mean,
and you can free a slave
And the fact
today.
Is, because of CSI, you can do something about it. God bless you. Thank you.